The Tom Woods Show, episode 1416.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, the great and heroic Bob Murphy has a brand new book out, Contra Krugman, Smashing the Errors of America's Most Famous Keynesian. This thing is going to give you a ton of intellectual ammunition. Plus, throw Bob a bone here. I mean, before I crush him in the debate we're doing aboard the Contra Cruise, at least let him get a book sale or two. Check it out at ContraKrugmanBook.com. And I am the narrator of the audiobook version. How about that? You can get that for free through the Audible offer at TomWoodsAudio.com. At any rate, get all the details at ContraKrugmanBook.com. Hi, everybody. Tom Woods here. John Bush is with me today. John has many, many activist credentials under his belt by this time. I've known him for quite a while, not exactly sure how long, but he's always up to something interesting. And these days, in terms of his business, he's been involved with Kratom, and he's very much of an advocate for it. And we're going to talk about that, about what it is, what it does, what the government's attitude toward it is, what it's like selling it, and some of the challenges that you run into, the legal status, all this sort of stuff, because it's getting more and more attention. And John is one of the people for sure to talk to about it. It's going to be a very interesting conversation. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
As I was preparing for today, I was thinking back to when I met you, and I feel like it would have to have been at least like maybe 2008, something like that, in the Ron Paul days.
It was back in the good old days, for sure. Things were very different then.
You were but a young pup in those days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, you know, you're still out there keeping on, but you branched out into some interesting new areas, and I want to talk about that today. So let's start with some background, particularly for dopes like me who don't know really much more about this other than what you've told me in like a 3-minute span. And that is, I'd like to know the background. I'd like you to tell me what Kratom is. And I guess I partly want to know, how come I'm only hearing about it over the past few years? Is it something that's existed for a long time, but it's only coming into popular awareness recently? Give me the backstory.
Well, Kratom is a member of the coffee family, although it has no caffeine. It's made from the powderized ground-up leaves of the Kratom evergreen tree, which is grown primarily in Southeast Asia. It's been used by indigenous cultures in Southeast Asia for centuries as a folk remedy. Day laborers would use it out in the fields when they're starting to get fatigued. In the West, when people get off work, they sit around and drink beer together to take the edge off. In Indonesia, for example, where we import our Kratom from, they would sit around the fire drinking Kratom tea to take the edge off. It's grown in popularity in the West recently. A lot of people take it for chronic pain instead of prescription pain medicine. They feel loopy. It has a tendency to create addictions. There's a lot of people dying with this opioid epidemic. So people are finding the same pain relief with Kratom without all the negative side effects. And then other people take it for focus and energy, stress and anxiety. And a lot of people use it to overcome withdrawal symptoms so they can kick an addiction to opioids or even opiates like heroin. And you haven't heard about it because it's not on the 3x5 index card of acceptable remedies here in the West, primarily because it is competing with the pharmaceutical industry.
All right. We'll get into that in a minute. I'd like to know, what's the history surrounding its legality or otherwise in the United States?
Well, it has been completely unregulated, which is what I prefer as a free market guy, for quite some time in the United States. And then in 2016, the DEA tried to emergency schedule it, which was really unprecedented for something like a just powderized leaf. And that's not treated with any chemicals or anything. And they tried really hard. They had a big propaganda push, and ultimately they failed. And I believe they failed because Kratom changes so many people's lives. It gives them their lives back, that they were willing to speak out, to call their congressmen, to show up to the rallies. 50 plus Congress people and 10 U.S. senators all signed a letter to the DEA telling them to back off. And wouldn't you know it, that actually backfired in the government's face. Not only did they fail in trying to ban it and make it a federal felony, but at that time, you see massive spikes in Google search terms for kratom, and a lot of people became familiar with it. I was selling it at the time, and a lot of the other vendors started shutting down their operations out of fear. Due to my activism for the past decade, I knew that until the DEA actually made it illegal, it was totally fair game. So we actually leaned into the kratom sales and really expanded our business and started helping more and more people. Since then, the FDA, we found out it was actually the FDA that was trying to push the DEA to ban kratom. They've been on a massive propaganda campaign along with the CDC, and the mainstream media is just eating it up without doing any research or objective analysis at all.
So does that mean that apart from an ongoing propaganda campaign aimed at getting people to want to criminalize it or getting the states to step in, does that mean that, strictly speaking, it's still unregulated?
Okay, so in 6 states, it's illegal. And it's my belief, based on some research, that when a bunch of states went after Spice and K2, which is like a synthetic marijuana, chemically based, which it actually does kind of jack you up, some of these ignorant state legislators just clumped in kratom because kratom is often sold in head shops. And they would see the spice there, and right next to it on the rack would be kratom. So they're like, well, this spice, there's a big spice problem, especially in homeless communities. So what's this stuff? We don't really know what it is. It's kind of weird. We might as well ban it too. So it's illegal in those 6 states. The FDA, in addition to their big propaganda campaign, they circumvented the federal government. They didn't have success at the federal level. The legislature, the Congress, I don't even think really cares about it at this point. So they went to the state governments and started trying to have it banned in more state governments. Thankfully, there's this really good organization called the American Kratom Association. They're actually countering it by pushing through the Kratom Consumer Protection Act, which actually legalizes kratom and adds some light regulations. And again, as a free market guy, I prefer no regulation whatsoever, but it's definitely better than banning it. So now there's states like Utah and a few others where Utah had actually passed it. I think there's a couple others that have passed it, and it's being introduced all around the country. So now the tide is actually turning into the other way because the science and all the evidence just really supports that kratom is safe and it has all sorts of positive benefits.
The story you tell reminds me a little bit of the propaganda in the 1930s about marijuana, because when that all happened and marijuana was criminalized, you almost can't believe how dumb the propaganda about it was. And I say this as someone who never uses it and I have no interest in using it, but I don't like being lied to by propagandists. And the propaganda surrounding it was so stupid. You can't believe this was the basis on which they made the decision. It is preposterous and embarrassing. Now, how does this all affect you as a dealer in it? I mean, you have to deal with payment processors and all down the line that maybe they get a little bit nervous about this substance that has a kind of ambiguous relationship with the law, let's say?
Yep, it's definitely gray. So that creates uncertainty and difficulty for entrepreneurs, as the government tends to do. The government's really bad for business. One of the hardest parts has been the credit card processing. So most people are used to using credit cards and debit cards when they make their online purchases. Well, thanks to an Obama-era program, a Department of Justice program during Obama's administration called Operation Choke Point, they said that it was to limit people's ability to launder money through like payday lenders and stuff like that, for example. But in reality, it enables the federal government to put pressure on the banks, which in turn put pressure on the credit card companies to no longer process transaction for undesirable industries like firearms, adult toy stores, dispensaries, and of course, kratom and CBD. So I have done my best to come up with innovative solutions like through PayPal and other people's Square accounts, and they've all got shut down. I've probably been through like 7 or 8 credit card solutions, and I managed to not go without credit cards for more than a week at a time for the past few years. But for the past 4 months, they really cracked down hard. Now we do have a solution, which I say it's an end run around their payment blockade. It's called eCheck. It's actually safer and more secure than credit cards. And essentially, you use your checking account and routing number and this program called Green Money, which is the leader in the industry. They really do a lot for the cannabis industry. They essentially draw an electronic check that gets deposited into my business's checking account. And so thankfully, most people with a credit or debit card have a checking account. So we've been able to continue processing transaction. And of course, there's always cryptocurrency, which never lets you down.
It's unbelievable. This must have been incredibly frustrating. This would have made me insane dealing with this. Like, it's not hard enough running a business in the first place.
Yeah, it's been really hard. On top of that, Facebook constantly gives me a 7-day Facebook ban. I can't do Facebook advertisements. So it's really been a test in persistence. I'm slowly starting to get a foothold in other spaces like coaching and selling other products that aren't so gray. But the profound impact that Kratom has had on so many people's lives, I've had stories from my customers where they were taking Percocet for a decade. They were addicted to it. They weren't able to take care of their 4 grandchildren. They found themselves shaking in their bedroom. They learned about Kratom. They tried it. They were able to kick the Percocet addiction in 2 to 3 days with little to no withdrawal symptoms. And literally, it gives them their life back. So it's just a really fulfilling line of work. And I've decided as of late, rather than to just give up and throw in the cards, I'm just going to focus on innovative solutions to continue to bring this powerful plant to market.
Yeah. And you know, that itself, the business end of it, is as interesting a story as Kratom itself, because the lengths you have to go to make it available make for an important story for other entrepreneurs who are in, let's say, some of these gray areas. Are there any prospects of it just if its name being cleared, or is it just kind of has inertia more or less taken over?
Well, I also sell CBD. And CBD has many of the similar problems. However, CBD is becoming more and more legitimized. For example, last year, President Trump, love him or hate him, signed the Farm Bill. And in that, they actually legitimized and legalized hemp and CBD. Here in the great state of Texas, this last session that just wrapped up a few days ago, they actually legalized hemp and CBD as well. So CBD is becoming more and more legitimized. Meanwhile, Kratom is still like the redheaded stepchild in the plant medicine industry. However, thanks to the American Kratom Association, I wouldn't have been able to say this a few months ago, they're passing that Kratom Consumer Protection Act. And I really feel like the tides are turning. And again, what we saw, the DEA came out heavy-handed and said, we are going to emergency schedule, not just schedule one. We're going to add a schedule one that takes this long, years-long process. They said, we're going to make it an emergency and rush it through. There was such a big pushback and such a grassroots base that stood up, again, because it's had such a profound impact. If Kratom becomes a federal felony, people are going to have to go back to the opioids and go back to an addiction, or they'll go back to heroin. Some people even use Kratom to get off of heroin. There's such a big sleeping giant of Kratom users out there that I feel confident that if they try to do anything federally again, they are going to fail.
Can we take a quick detour and have you spend a couple minutes telling us something about CBD, and then we'll get back to our subject?
Yeah, sure.
So I'd like to know just again what the basic man on the street information that we all need to know about it is. I think I've discussed it at least once here on the show, and I know people who have used it. But I think some people don't quite get exactly what it is, and does it get you high? I mean, they have a lot of these basic FAQ kind of questions.
Sure. Yeah, so CBD is part of the cannabis plant, but it comes from hemp, which doesn't have THC. So within the cannabis plant, there's a multitude of different cannabinoids. THC is one of them that most people are familiar with. It has a psychoactive effect. That's what gets you high. CBD does not have a psychoactive effect. All of the cannabinoids interact with the body's endocannabinoid system, which is why it's so absurd that the government would have banned cannabis for so long, because it literally is so synergistic with our body. Our body has an endocannabinoid system. So the CB1 receptor is in our brain. That's what the THC interacts with. It gets you high. The CBD's receptor is called the CB2 receptor, and it's in your spleen. And basically, it helps the body to maintain homeostasis or balance. This is why it's so good combating inflammation. So if somebody has hurt back or achy knees, or they just got in a car accident, for example, the body is going to be working hard to send more dopamine and to deal with the pain. And so the CBD goes, it stimulates the CB2 receptor, and it helps the body to maintain balance. It also helps with stress and anxiety when the body's out of whack. It'll help bring it back into balance to find more peace and relief. And it helps with sleep. I take it personally when I'm all wired up at night and having trouble sleeping. I'll take a dropper of CBD and it just knocks me out and I have the best sleep ever. So yeah, CBD can be taken as an oil. It can be taken in CBD candies, CBD gummies. There's even CBD flower now that looks just like normal weed buds, but it doesn't have the THC. And so for people that are concerned about cannabis, they don't want to be high. They don't want to be like reefer madness when they're at work. The CBD is a really good therapeutic remedy that doesn't have the side effects of being stoned all day.
Wow. Okay. Very, very interesting. Now, how did you get into Kratom? Was it you became familiar with some people's success stories and you were intrigued? Why that in particular?
Well, I was involved in activism since 2002, really. And then, as you're saying, 2007, 2008, learned about libertarianism, really leaned into political activism. And then I started exploring alternatives, political alternatives like cryptocurrency and creating mutual aid societies and stuff. And along the way, I had a family and really got into natural health. And that became a really important aspect of my life. And I had this really bad throat infection that I was able to beat back with nebulizing colloidal silver, for example, which we also sell at our website, mybravebotanicals.com. And running Brave New Books, this underground bookstore here in Austin, Texas, we sold health products and somebody brought along Kratom. So we carried it on the store shelves. I researched it a little bit. I was familiar with it. And then when I started taking it for myself, I just had some really profound effects. There was one instance we were going around the country in our converted school bus promoting Bitcoin early on. We would do these Bitcoin-only road trips. And I had so many obligations. We had sponsors, so I had to do podcasts and interviews and write blog posts. And I had to drive the bus for extended hours at a time to get to our next meetup. And I had our two children that were traveling with us as well. And I was extremely overwhelmed, so anxious to the point that I had some chest tightness, which is very rare. It's only happened to me a few times, but I felt I had so many obligations, so many things I had to do. I had to pay bills back at home. I was behind on my podcast. I was worried that our sponsors were going to freak out. And so I'm having this chest tightness while I'm driving the bus. I decide to pull over. Hey, I have some Kratom in the back. Let me go ahead and try that. I just had a teaspoon of it, drank it with some water, and literally within 10 to 15 minutes, the chest tightness completely went away. And on top of that, my perspective changed. I had this like scarcity mindset. I was worried. I was concerned. I was stressed out. And I completely changed the way I was thinking about the situation to everybody understands we're doing really good work promoting Bitcoin. It's okay if the podcast is a couple days behind. We got to get to our next stop. I was just completely relieved. And it was at that point that I realized like, wow, this is something special. Before, I would just kind of take it for a little bit of stress, maybe even take it recreationally because it just makes you feel a little good. But that was the point where I really saw the profound effect on me personally and decided to lean into it and help other people find it.
Folks, just a quick break. You may have seen years ago somebody digging out an old Radio Shack ad, and it's got 15 products on it, and you realize that today we can do all 15 of those things on our smartphones. Well, likewise, you can find courses on virtually anything you'd want to learn to advance your career or to build a side hustle or just to help you develop a hobby further in just one place, and that's Skillshare. For heaven's sake, it's a miracle that you get access to 28,000 classes in design, business, creative writing, social media marketing, anything you can think of that you can consume in your leisure time. Not too long ago, I featured two of my own daughters in promotions for Skillshare because they've used it and they love it. Well, you can join the millions of people already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for my listeners. You get 2 months of Skillshare for free. They're offering my listeners 2 months of access to those 28,000 classes for free. So to sign up for that, go to Skillshare.com/woodsfree. That's Skillshare.com/woodsfree to start your 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/woodsfree. I'm curious, as listeners will probably already know, I'm always curious about the business end of things. And you've got particular challenges, as you've said, and you've come up with clever ways to address and overcome those challenges. But what impresses me equally is that you have built up a very nice way of acquiring new people, bringing new people in to your, you know, your orbit so that they'll hear from you, they'll buy from you. And you have a landing page or a one-page website that we should direct people to. So tell us about how this whole thing works. I'll let you say it.
Sure. Yeah. The URL is freeounceofkratom.com. Freeounceofkratom.com. And what I tell people is I believe in Kratom so much that I want to give it away for free for people to try. So all you have to do is pay $5 for shipping and handling, and I will send you a free ounce of Green Mang Da, our most powerful, most popular strain, to try. And if you take it every day, it'll last you about 2 to 3 weeks. If you take it every other day, it'll last a month or longer. And the idea is, I learned this from Russell Brunson, who's the ClickFunnels guy. And the idea is, in order to acquire more customers, rather than paying for advertising, you can acquire customers for free by simply giving something away for free. And so in reality, when you pay $5 for the shipping, I actually lose about 15 to 25 cents for every person that takes advantage of the offer, but I'm gaining a potential customer. And so many people that try it, again, for stress and anxiety, for chronic pain, maybe they've been taking opioids from a car accident 5 years ago, and they just no longer think it serves them. So many people have such a big impact that I know I'm going to get repeat customers for this. On top of that, once the person adds the free ounce to cart, they're presented with an upsell offer, a one-time offer, where they get four of our other strains to try. So it's like, go ahead and try every single offering that we have for 50% off. And a lot of people are taking advantage of that offer. So it's really beautiful because I have a goal to get 1,000 people within this year, before the end of 2019, to try this free ounce of Kratom. So passionately, you know, I'm an activist at heart. And I know that this is helping people, and it brings me great joy and fulfillment that I'm fighting back Big Pharma and the FDA and the DEA. So it's very fulfilling work and activism. But on the business end, it's really helping me to feed my family, because a good chunk of the people that take advantage of the free offer are not only potentially buying the upsell, but in the future, they'll continue to do business with me, because I have a feeling they're really going to like the effects that the Kratom has for them. So it's a win-win for everybody. Well, everybody wins except for the government, I guess.
Right. I'm glad it works out for you, because I have to say, even though you know in the back of your mind that some people buy the upsell, and also its long-term customer value could be substantial if the person starts buying the product, even so, there's still that little bit of anxiety about, I'm losing a little bit of money every time I do this. So it's nice to see on the other side of things that it all works out after all. You know, it all works out.
Yeah.
Because I've done some of this sort of free stuff. I'll give you this for free. But once you get the free thing, you're going to get follow-up offers. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to give you that free thing, because the follow-up offers are irresistible. You'd be crazy not to get them. And so it all kind of works out. But my free stuff's all digital. I don't have to ship anything out. I don't have to worry about I'm going to lose money, whatever. But I feel like you've tested it to the point where you know this works, this funnel works, and it's a smart, you know, I like Russell Brunson. That's a smart strategy.
Yeah, and I'm super excited that's working. And again, for entrepreneurs, one strategy is like, if you have a feeling something could work, just give it a try and see what the results are. If it ends up not working, then pull back. If it ends up that it does work, then you lean into it. Or maybe it works a little bit and you can kind of change the copy on your landing page, or maybe it's the upsell that isn't working, or whatever it is that's bringing people to the landing page needs to be tweaked a little bit. But so far, I just started doing it a month ago or so, and the numbers don't lie. The upsell alone is paying for the cost of bringing the new customers in. And as time goes on, those new customers are going to become repeat customers. And I think it's really going to help a lot.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt, by the way, to deal in a product that people regularly want to replenish. You know, you're not selling a broom that's going to last them 20 years. You know, there's over and over and over, people need the thing. Now, first of all, freeounceofkratom.com. Just make sure everybody knows Kratom, K-R-A-T-O-M. So freeounceofkratom.com. So now I'm kind of curious about I have a question that combines both of these aspects, the libertarian aspect and the business aspect. So once Facebook gets cold feet or starts giving you a problem about ads or whatever, and apparently you even got banned for promoting Kratom sales on Facebook, I guess a temporary ban, that obviously throws a monkey wrench into the works when it comes to promoting knowledge of the product. So what alternatives were available to you that you could seize?
Yeah, so back with the persistence thing, there were so many times when I thought about just abandoning this industry because I'm becoming more skilled and skilled as an entrepreneur, and I feel like sometimes because I'm in this space, it's like I'm running with the parachute behind my back. But again, I have a strong customer base, a lot of repeat customers, and it's such fulfilling work. It makes my heart feel good. And again, it's throwing jabs at big government, big pharma. So I decided, rather than give up, I'm just going to innovate and find ways around the social media. So what I've been doing lately is I'm creating this giant list of blogs, podcasts, and radios, and social media influencers. And you were towards the top of my list, Tom.
Thank you.
We had spoken before, and you offered to have me on. So I thought this would be a really good time to do that. So rather than relying on social media, which is extremely effective, it's not effective for me when it comes to Kratom and CBD, but it's extremely effective in other areas. I'm going to go straight to my audience, and I'm going to start with an audience that may already be familiar with me or an audience that will resonate with my message, being the libertarian anti-government audience, right? This is the plant remedy that the government doesn't want you to try. So there's some appeal there. So that's what I'm doing currently. And so far it's had some pretty good success on the interviews that I have done. Derek Brose of the Conscious Resistance interviewed me, and I saw a nice spike in the free ounce of Kratom offers. And then another thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to go directly to potential consumers face to face. This is a gray area. People may think it's weird. And another hurdle is when I'm talking to people or I share about it on social media, Kratom, 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 they're like, hey, that guy seemed like a pretty honest guy, had a lot of good things to say. I'm going to go research Kratom on my own. And so when you Google Kratom, what comes up, of course, is the BS headlines from the mainstream media that are simply regurgitating the lies from the FDA and the CDC. So I'm going to go directly to consumers at farmers markets. We're hosting a screening coming up this Sunday of this amazing Netflix documentary called A Leaf of Faith. A Leaf of Faith. I would invite people to watch it if you have a Netflix account. So I don't need the social media. I don't need the credit cards, although it'd be nice to have them back. I'm doing everything I can to do an end run around these blocks and these hurdles that the government is putting in front of me. And I'm committed to reaching as many people as possible with this amazing remedy.
You've mentioned the FDA a number of times. Are there any at all, any legitimate concerns with Kratom? Is there anything? I mean, because it's okay for it to be really great for a lot of people, but there's a chance that a few people could have problems with it. But are there any such things? Is there anything about the case against it for which there is just even an ounce of truth, let's say?
Okay. So again, people take Kratom for chronic pain instead of the opioids or prescription pain medicine, and they find the same relief without all of the loopiness and the really hardcore addiction. People take it for stress and anxiety, mental focus. There's two or three different varieties. There's red leaf, red vein, which are the ones that are good for pain, and they tend to have a sedative effect, help with sleeping as well and relaxing. Then there's green and white, which tend to be a little more uplifting and energetic. Those are good for stress and anxiety and for energy and focus. Now, there are some people and some of my customers that use it to come off of an opiate or an opiate like heroin or even an opioid addiction, and they simply become dependent on the Kratom. But what that is a great example of harm reduction, because one of the great promises of Kratom, which does interact with the body's opioid receptors, like the Percocet, the Vicodin, the Oxycontin, which is a really bad one, is that Kratom doesn't cause respiratory depression. So that's one of the main reasons why there's this opioid epidemic taking place and people are dying all across the country, is because they take so much of the pills, they develop such a tolerance, they start taking more and more, and then their lungs basically shut down and they die. They can't breathe. That's not the case with Kratom. Now, one caution is that it can be habit forming, but if you take it responsibly like I do, I usually take it regularly for about 5 or 6 days, and then I take 2 or 3 days off so my body won't develop a tolerance. And I'm really in tune with my body being in a natural health. And when I take it sometimes for like 2 weeks straight, for example, I can kind of feel that maybe it's taking a little bit of a toll on my liver or kidneys because the alkaloids are strong. So my liver or kidneys are having to filter out a little bit more. There are some studies. Every time the FDA puts out a new report, I go in and do my best to debunk it and try to see if there's any truth to it. So in one study, they say that it causes liver failure. The only thing that I could find is when someone takes it every single day for a very long time and they take an enormous amount, which again could happen if you develop a habit or a dependency on it and you start developing a tolerance. And I have customers that take like an ounce or more a day, which is what I would take in about 2 weeks. They take that every day. So it says that there can be acute liver toxicity if you take it in mass amounts, if you take it regularly every single day. Now, the FDA and CDC want people to believe that the CDC came out with a report saying there's 91 kratom-related deaths. 91 people died with kratom in their system. However, all of those 91, except for 7, had fentanyl, opiates, heroin, all sorts of cocaine, all sorts of other stuff in their system. The FDA recently said there's 26 kratom-related deaths. Some of those people, the ones that only had kratom in their system, were also shot and like fell off a roof. So I'm not going to say that kratom can't kill you, because if you drink too much water, it'll kill you. But you would have to be taking a whole lot of kratom and an exorbitant amount every single day for a really long time for it to have those harmful effects. So again, like anything, whether it's coffee, which is also addictive, it's important to use it responsibly, to take small amounts, to take breaks so you don't develop a tolerance. And for new users, it's important to take it on a full stomach and to start with a very small amount, like perhaps half a teaspoon mixed in with 16 ounces or 12 ounces of water, drinking it slowly over the course of 30 minutes to an hour. That will help reduce the chance that maybe it makes you a little nauseous or anything. But it's pretty dang safe and little to no side effects. And again, compared to the pharmaceuticals that are a lot of people are taking, the side effects are much, much less, and the risk of harmful things is much less as well.
And obviously, when you send it out to people, you include instructions to this effect?
Yeah, there's a suggested serving size, and I purposely err on the conservative side. I've been doing this for about 3 years, and there have been less than a handful of people that had a little stomach ache when they took it. That's the worst that has happened in giving it out to so many people. And at events, I do free samples and stuff. Now, because there's like this moral hazard because of the FDA not approving it as a dietary supplement, originally, I didn't have any suggested serving size. A lot of people in the industry sell it as like a soap or as an incense. But I realized like, okay, somebody could get a free ounce of kratom and take like 2 big tablespoons, for example, and that doesn't feel right to me. So I don't know if I'm putting myself a little bit more risk putting the suggested serving size, but at the end of the day, I went with what I felt was right in my gut. And it's the right thing to do to give someone a suggested serving size, regardless of what the government thinks. So there's a suggested serving size. And again, start with half a teaspoon on a full stomach and you should be fine. Again, I'm not a doctor, but err on the side of caution and start small just to see how it reacts with you.
Well, folks, if you're interested in this, the website is freeounceofkratom.com. I have no background in any of this, so, you know, of course, obviously, all of you should do your due diligence. But what I can say is I've known John for a very long time, and I've always known him to be honest and reliable and a good guy. So if you have an opportunity to work with him or be a customer of his, it's not going to be a bad experience, I can assure you. Any parting words, John?
No, I appreciate all you're doing to spread the word, and really excited that you've been helping people with entrepreneurship and business. It's I have 2 kiddos and there's a lot going on in my family right now. So entrepreneurship has been a really important part of me basically taking control of my life. There's political freedom and then there's financial freedom. And I'm on a quest to gain some financial freedom so I can give my children the best life possible. So I want to thank you for sharing all these strategies and emails and stuff that you're doing, Tom. I think it's really good work.
I appreciate that, John. Thanks. And I've been really glad to see, you know, that you've been acting on this and you know, to the point where I love the fact that you know who Russell Brunson is. Like, that's great. You know, you're doing just the right thing. And I hope your success just explodes. So thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, folks, definitely check out John Bush. And also, He did say some nice things about me and helping people start little side businesses and whatever. And one source I do recommend for that is still the ebook I wrote on the subject called Five Paths to an Online Income. You can get that for free over at pathstoincome.com. So go pick that up, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.